Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
I already did all the greeting and all that stuff, so, but I do want to again say that we're so glad that you're all here, and hope that you get a blessing out of this. I kind of did putting it together when I got done about 9:15 this morning. Elizabeth contacted me a few times about scripture, and I told her when I got done at 9:15 with the last scripture, it was a little late to call her. But so our scriptures won't be up, but that's fine. There's not that big anyway. Well, I'm glad to be here. Before I start, though, I really want to give a shout out to Dennis and Keith for taking the pulpit time after time after time. And we really appreciate their effort, along with Scott Ward, and we've had some guest speakers also. But those two especially have really tightened up their bootstraps, as they say, and done yeoman's duty. And I must say that as they do it, they're actually getting better. So anyway, I want to wish every mom here a happy Mother's Day, or grandmas, everybody, aunts, glad that we can celebrate this day for you. And my message today is going to be concentrated pretty much on mothers and Mother's Day. I heard this the other day and kind of tickled me. Mom was with her son, and he was 4 years old. And so mom would, you know, they'd talk about, oh, you're 4 years old, and he'd always hold up four finger, I'm 4 years old. Well, his birthday came, and the night before his birthday, he and his mom were chatting, and said, "Now you know you're gonna be five. You know tomorrow you're not gonna be four anymore." And little guy said, "Oh, I know." He held up his hands, five hands. He says, "Now I'm a handful." And to all you moms out there, I think you know what I'm talking about. I think we've all had our hands full. I think I know who the handful was in our family. He's talking to you right now. But anyway, I thought that was just as cute could be. Again, I want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day, especially my wife, Terry, who I know is watching, mom to our kids, and so happy Mother's Day. In every season of life, God uses people to reveal aspects of his nature and some of the most powerful reflections of his love, compassion, and strength. It's the role of the mother. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture honors the value of mothers for not only in what they do, but in who they are. And we have a lot of moms here that really fit that. But being a mom is sort of a sacred calling. Motherhood is not just a cultural construct. It's a sacred calling from the moment Eve was named the mother of all living in Genesis 3:20. God set motherhood in motion as a vital part of his redemptive plan. Throughout the Old Testament, women like Sarah, Rebecca, Jochebed, I think is how you say that, and Hannah were entrusted with raising children who would shape the course of history. Their stories remind us motherhood is not always easy, and it often involves waiting, sacrifice, faith, but through each challenge, God works through mothers to shape the hearts of future generations. Moms are a model of God's love. Put that somewhere where I'll probably lose it. Isaiah 66:13 reveals a powerful image of God's character. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In this tender comparison, God points to the deep emotional strength of a mother's love. I know we've all felt that. A mother's ability to nurture, comfort, and remain steadfast reflects his heart towards us. Proverbs 31 paints a portrait of a godly woman who is wise, strong, diligent, and kind. She's not only a provider and protector for her household, but also a spiritual anchor. And I know in our family, we were lucky enough to grow up with a mother that was a spiritual anchor. Although Dad was pretty good too, but Mom really was an anchor. Her children rise up and call her blessed in Proverbs 31:28, and her legacy is one of honor. And I got it thinking just a little bit about that piece, and in today's society, this really is more important, because it seems that we're seeing more and more in society of no father in the house, and the moms are responsible for everything. And faith is also passed down. Timothy's faith journey in the New Testament shows how powerfully a mother and a grandmother can shape a soul. I also had a grandmother, two of them, that could shape a soul. Paul writes, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm sorry, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." And I had, like I say, two grandmothers. I shared one with Sandy Petrowski, our Grandma Morse, and she was, I didn't know a whole lot about her because she died quite early, but what I did know was one of the loveliest, sweetest ladies I knew. And then on my other side, some of you may remember, if you're really old, you might remember our grandmother Welshimer. Grandma Welshimer, yeah, some people are nodding their head, was a long time attender and here at Stephensville Chapel. And she was a lady of faith. Candy was telling me before the service started that some couple of memories that she had of my grandmother, and one of them just tickled me because I hadn't heard it in a long time. But when my grandma prayed, she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally it was like, "Grandma, you know, let's cut this short." She would go on and on and on. She also loved to sing. And in the old church over here, she was very hard of hearing. So Ed got the idea, which was great. They installed this thing that she could put on her ear and hear. And so we had that for her. Well, when we were singing our hymns, everyone knew, my grandmother's name was Della, everyone knew that when the song was over to let Della finish. Even though she had this thing in her ear, it didn't work, I don't think. And I can still remember my grandma singing for like 2 minutes after everybody was done, because she wasn't quite caught up on the song. But it didn't bother her. She was at the top of her lungs. And I have great memories of not only moms, but grandmas. So faith is often first taught in the home. Hopefully it is. Through bedtime prayers, encouraging words, correction in love, and consistent example. Mothers plant seeds of truth that grow over time. Now, is that not the truth? Their everyday acts of love become internal investments. I love that too. They sure are internal investments. When, whether biological, adopted, spiritual, or mentor figures, mothers in the kingdom of God carry an internal impact. Their words carry weight, their prayers have power, and their influence stretches into generations. That is probably true. I could see probably a lot of nodding heads here, just people thinking of their ancestors. So we recognize that every meal prepared, every car ride to practice, every whispered prayer, and every tear shed is known by God. Moms, your work is not in vain. To every mom, whether in the thick of parenting or walking alongside others as a spiritual mother, we thank you. You reflect the heart of the Father more than you know. And I want that really to hit home. I should have named this talk Hodgepodge, because I'm going to be jumping all over the place. But this is another part that really struck me as I was preparing for this. What a wonderful thing that God has so many messages just for moms, messages for parents, really for moms, dads, grandparents. There are also those listening who will one day be in the delightful company of parents. And there are single adults who have such profound influence on our homes. History's most famous mother was called to her task, just as parents today are called by God to their task. And of course, history's most famous mother was Mary. And when Mary was only a teenager, she was confronted with the challenge to be completely submitted to God's will. When Gabriel gave her the angelic message that she was to carry the Christ, Mary, of course, was stunned. And that, my mind went immediately to the first scene in Journey to Bethlehem. And the people that have played Mary over the years have done a great job of being stunned and really acting that part. It's a very good visual of how Mary must have felt. But her key phrase was, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be." Mary never wavered from her complete submission to God's will. Was she nervous? Heck yeah. Was she unsure of her own abilities? Sure. Who wouldn't be? Was she anxious about the prophecy the part of her future would include? Pain? Of course. Mary was a little like the mother who sits up late at night, far past bedtime, waiting for the date of her children to be over. She was like the father who sat silent, and I've done this before, has said the silent, heartfelt prayers. He watched his child drive away from the house, taking all those raw instincts into the street of great danger. Mary was like any parent in this room who only wanted the best, only the most protection for her child, and fully aware that life happens and on all of life is present. And of course, Mary would find that out later in Jesus' life. It's not always pleasant, and we'll get to that. As hopping, like I said, it's a hodgepodge, but as hopping to Jesus' crucifixion, Mary stood near the cross of her son as he was put on the cross. Mary didn't stand stoically and passively by the foot of the cross as if she was already made out of stained glass. She crumpled at the cross. She fell down to the depths there, moaning and wailing and begging the God of heaven to stop her hell on earth, like any other mother would do with their child. The truth of Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus was suddenly true. The cross cut deeply into Mary's heart. Despite the pain, however, Mary was there. She was a mother from the beginning and a mother at the end, a mother called by God who never relinquishes that title. And is that not true? You're called by God as a mother. You will never relinquish that title. Well, I'm going to, believe it or not, switch gears here again a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about my own mom. It seems how it's Mother's Day. She's no longer with us. She's with Jesus and my dad. And but I did want to talk just a little bit. Many of you knew my mom, as did my grandmother. But I have a couple of scriptures here I just wanted to read before I started this part. These just kind of remind me of my mom, and hopefully maybe they'll remind you of your moms. But is Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, still will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Also, 2 Proverbs 22:6, and I really like this one. This is one that all moms can take home, especially young moms. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know in our case, I mean, I departed way from it as a young buck, but I came back to Christ. I came back to the cross through the teachings that my parents installed in us. And it took a while. I churned water for a while, churned other things for a while that we don't need to get into. But but this is that scripture is so true, so true. Well, our mom was Becky Morse. And many of you remember Becky. Her and my dad were pillars here at Stephensville Chapel. We started coming here in 1969. So before a lot of you were even born. But we started coming here in the old building. And according to my mom, she had 5 perfect kids. Any other moms here? But you weren't always, that didn't make you on a pedestal, if you know what I meant. She knew how to bring you down, almost your knees sometimes, when you didn't want to be on your knees. She really loved us, and we really felt that love. But first and foremost, my mom loved the Lord, and that was always first. Church always came first. I'm glad I brought this up here. All right. Church always came first. God always came first. Prayers before every meal came first. Even to much to our chagrin when we were teenagers, Mom decided that we should, before school every morning, have a Bible study. So we you know how teenagers are. So we'd look at the wall and look at the ceiling. Oh, come on, Mom, let's get this over with. You know, we don't want to do this. Until she set us straight. And I kind of refer back to that last scripture that you'll never depart from this but you need to learn it first. You need to have it ingrained in you, basically. And but mom and my dad, you always got to mention my dad with my mom because they were always together. And they were married for just 2 months shy of 70 years. So they did a lot together. But she was a prayer warrior. She prayed about everything. I can remember my mom in just about any situation that would come up, she prayed. I remember one night I was playing basketball into high school here on the varsity team, and someone threw me a pass that I didn't see coming. It hit me right between the eyes. Down I went, and when I got up and kind of got my bearings about me, I had a concussion, and it was a bad concussion. So I went home that night and did what you do, you know, went and got in bed. The next thing I know, my mom's by my bedside, and she's praying this wonderful prayer for my concussion. The Lord, you know, please make him well. Please, I'm not kidding you, in 2 hours I felt good. And that from that day on, I kind of didn't think Mom was doing that in vain, that's for sure. I mean, this stuff works. I wish I'd have paid a little more attention back at that time, but, you know, she prayed about everything. She loved the Lord unconditionally, and like I say, she loved our dad, and they were together 70 years. She loved Stutz Chapel. She and Dad were greeters for many, many years out there at that front door. Most of you, probably all of you, if you came to Stutz back in that day, you got a hug from my mom, because that's just the way she operates. She had no handshakes. You got a hug. And Journey to Bethlehem, she and those two right there, the Olsons, greeted thousands of people that came through Journey to Bethlehem at that front door. That was their spot. And even in the years where she, my mom actually passed away from dementia, and when that was first starting to set in, people, of course, knew that she was suffering with this. But she greeted everyone at the door, and I'd have so many people come up to me and say, "Your mom is amazing. She knew who I was. She shook my hand just like always and hugged me and knew who I was." But I'd say to people, "Well, what did she call you?" "Well, I think she called me sweetie." Or, "I think she called me honey." That was Mom's way of saying she couldn't remember who they were. But, "Well, darling, it's so good. Oh, honey, go, sweetie." And she did that for years and years. And we used to always get kind of a kick out of that, as a lot of the people did here, because she was definitely doing her job. Our friends loved my mom. Not of our friends. I mean, Tina here is a classmate of mine. I know, knew my mom well. Used to ride to ball games with them every now and then. And my mom was loved by just about everybody in the community. My oldest brother, Garth, many of you don't know Garth, he's quite a bit older, or that's 10 years older than I am, but he grew up in the hippie days, and he was a good one. He followed all the hippie rules, but he had some pretty wild friends. And those friends were always, even though this whole town, some of them, and I'm not naming names because some of them are still around, but a lot of these people were characters. I mean, they were not really well loved or liked in this community because of some of the things that they did. But Garth would bring them home to our house, and Mom loved them. She loved, and they loved Mom. She'd cook them a meal. She'd tell them how much she loved them. Well, one day, she was talking, and one of these guys was at the house, and she was saying that outside of our kitchen window, kind of, she said, "Boy, I've always wanted a nice spruce tree there." And so they were talking. Well, about 4 or 5 days later, here comes this guy down the road with his pickup truck with a spruce tree in it. Dug a little hole and planted the spruce tree. Mom was so happy, and he was just getting ready to leave, and the state police pulled in. The tree was stolen. But this guy loved mom. He wanted to make sure. He wanted to make sure that she had her tree. Well, she had her tree for about 15 minutes. And we had to give it back. But that's how much these people really love my mom. I mean, they just thought the world of her. And that he would go ahead, although he stole a lot of other things too, but that he would go ahead and steal a tree to bring out to my mom. She also, when you talk about my mom being constantly praying, she reminded me a little bit. My oldest brother was in Vietnam for 18 months. I wish that would quit. All right. She reminded me a little bit at that time of Mary at the cross. She prayed and prayed and prayed for him, for every letter she prayed over that she sent him. And that was really an example to us other kids, again, of the strength of my mother and the prayer that she so thoroughly believed in. She was also, she was the nicest lady around, asked all her friends, but she also could discipline. And mom's discipline was different than dad's. Dad, we used to say, always had the fastest belt in the West. That blue belt could come off in about one yank and you were getting it on your hind end. That's all there was to it. And the discipline was over. With mom, she talked to you. Honey, you know, you really disappointed me. You know, this is not the way that this family operates. We don't go, well, by the time she's done, you're in tears. You just feel so bad that she you would hurt mom. I'd much rather have dad's belt for discipline than mom's discipline, because it stuck with you for days. You know, your heart was broken. But she definitely knew how to discipline. She knew how to get to us. She was a great grandmother. A lot of her grandkids are still in the area. They talk about her all the time. She loved to play with the grandkids, even when she was around 70. She was up in the UP one time with my brother had a cabin up there. And the grandkids were all around, and they were playing on this hill. And mom, of course, was right in the middle of them playing with the kids. The next thing they knew, there went mom down the hill. roll, all the way down to the river. And the grandkids still talk to this day about mom getting up, her hair full of dirt, sticks, her glasses were all whacked out of shape. She was headed up the hill, we're going to do it again. And the grandkids had never, ever forgotten that. But my mom cross-country skied well into her 80s. She walked. She loved to walk. Usually with dad, holding hands. We've got so many pictures of him holding hands, walk. Loved to pick up rocks, even with dementia. We still have, I think my sister still has a collection of mom's rocks at home. I mean, they're everywhere. And she loved to go for, even after she had dementia, she loved to go for walks on her own, kind of when she wasn't supposed to. And dad would call, mom went for a walk. Oh no, family gathering. All of us head to the woods. Got to find mom, and we find her out there somewhere, but she loved to walk. When you say she loved the Lord, or when I say, another example of that, we had to put her and dad. Dad cared for my mom until he was 90, and he called me one day and just said, hey, and I hope all parents can kind of be this way, I guess, but he said, hey, I'm 90. I can't take care of mom anymore. You need to put us in the care center. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So I got together with my siblings and I got that taken care of. But in order to get into the care center, you have to have a chest x-ray. So I made the appointment and I told them I'd take them over for their chest x-ray. At this point, mom didn't know even who we were. I mean, she was out of it. The dementia had really taken over. So we were on our way over, and I put in a CD. Anybody remember CDs? I put a CD in, and it was Alan Jackson's 20 gospel songs. And those started to play, and to this day, I can't believe this. She sang every one of them word for word, all the way over to Petoskey. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know who she was, but she knew those songs. And she, it's been something that's been reflected to me of her love of the Lord is unbelievable. Oh, Jerry, thank you. That's nice of you. Jerry's known me as long as anybody, so that's good. Mom just loved the Lord with all of her soul. I hear a lot of people say this, and I don't want to be offensive here, but a lot of people say, oh, I wish my mom would come back. I wish mom or dad would come back. I'd just love to have them come back. I don't want my mom back. And that, like I say, I don't want to be offensive, but mom's right where she wants to be. And mom worked her whole life to get there where she is right now. And that's with my dad sitting next to Jesus. And that was her goal. And she made it. It would be wrong of me to really want my mom back because she wouldn't want to be here. That's for sure. She got to the goal. She did what and she was a heck of an example to people. I'm going to close with this poem right here that I kind of thought was cool for moms. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of the quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he simply called it Mother. Happy Mom's Day, everyone. Thank you.
Well, Sandy's going to do a special number, and we've got a little, just a PS for those who are listening online. We do have a service that we use that gives copyright payments to artists who do music. This particular song, we do not have that for, so they're gonna mute it or stop the broadcast. Just a heads up about that. And also, Margo just went to get the kids in the other room. So they're going to start passing out flowers for moms. So listen to this song. She